Good morning. Welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are going to be studying together Mizmor Mem Aleph, the 41st Psalm in the book of Tehillim. We should just be aware of that this is an incredible accomplishment, because if we've been doing this from the beginning, this is actually the concluding Mizmor in the entire first book of Tehillim. Tehillim is, although 150 Psalms long, is actually divided into five books, like the Torah. That's how David HaMelech patterned it. And the first book of Tehillim runs from Aleph to Mem Aleph 1 to 41, and therefore we are at the capstone of this. It happens to be the second longest book in the book of Tehillim, with the book number 5 being 43. So really, between the two of them, though, they are incredibly long. We'll see the in-between books, book 2, 3, and 4, are much shorter, with 30, 16, and 16 in each of them. And we'll get to them shortly. It is interesting to notice that the first word of the first book of Tehillim is Ashrei, praiseworthy, and the first word passed to the inscription of this Mizmor of Mem Aleph is also Ashrei Maskil Eldal, praiseworthy is he who pays attention to the one in need. So there seems to be a framing of the entire Mizmor. In terms of overview and structure, this Mizmor is made up of 14 psukim and 3 basic sections. The first line is the Kotevet, which is the inscription, which is Lamnatzeach, Mizmor David. This is a song for the conductor of David. And then the three sections are Pasuk Beis to Dalet, which is 2 to 4, in which it describes how Hashem supports a sick person. In Psukim Hei to Yud Aleph, 5 to 11, are the complaints against those who gang up against the person who is sick. And Yud Beis to Yud Gimel, 12 to 13, are the trust that Hashem will ultimately listen and restore the sick person. The last pasuk, which is Yud Aleph, is really the closing pasuk, the capstone either of this Mizmor or of the first book of Tehillim. We'll get to that in a moment. In terms of central theme, the Meshorer, the narrator, is clearly devastatingly ill and he's suffering, but his enemies are waiting for his demise. Even his friends, who he supported beforehand, are betraying him. It sounds similar to some of the Mizmorim we've seen up till now, the last few couplets. And a part of what is different about this is that in this Mizmor, he is awaiting their demise. He wants to come back at them. We'll get back to that in a moment. He says, Ashalmalahem, I want to pay them back. In terms of the sickness and enemies, there seem to be two different ideas. How do the two work together? We've discussed this in many instances together. For instance, in Mizmor Lamed Ches 38, where this appears, there's numerous ways to put that together. It could be that the person is sick, and when they're sick, it exacerbates the thoughts they have about those who are ill wishes to them. It could be that, as the Da'at Mikra suggests, this is said by the king. And therefore, when a king is sick, all the ill wishes to the king now actually gloat, because they think theologically this is a proof that the king is ultimately on the way down. And therefore, the king's ultimate wish is to get better and to beat back down his enemies who are attacking him. That's one or two ways of looking at it. In terms of the role of revenge, it is really unique that this in this Mizmor Yud Aleph, as an example, he says, "Vata Hashem choneni v'akimeni, Hashem grace me and establish me, v'ashalma lohem, let me pay them back." So that doesn't sound like such a Jewish concept. You know, there's numerous times in Tanakh and in Chazal's literature that we know that in fact revenge is not a recommended course of action. As an example, in Mishlei Perek Chof, Pasuk Chof Beis, is almost identical words, but opposite sentiment. Al tomar ashalmo ra, don't say I'm going to pay back bad. Kaveh Hashem v'yoshalach, rather hope in Hashem and He'll save you. So this seems to be exactly against that sentiment in Mishlei, and numerous sources we've seen beforehand. So there's a few ways of looking at this. One may be, is that the payback that he's looking for over here is salvation. Meaning, if the Meshorer, ostensibly David HaMelech himself, is going to now thrive, he's going to survive, that's going to undervalue all the dreams and aspirations of the enemies that he's have a demise, and therefore the ultimate revenge is his own success. That is, as opposed to becoming the victim which they want him to become. It does sound like it may be a little more excessive than just disappointing their aspirations. Another option is that David HaMelech wears two hats. One of them is the personal hat, another one is actually the crown of Malchus. And therefore, Ashalma Alehem is not revenge on a personal level, but it rather is the actual office that he's protecting of kings. So for instance, we'll see at the end of David HaMelech's life, he orders Shlomo, his son, to get rid of Shimi ben Gera and Yoav. So he takes care of people who do not treat David properly. And the Mepharshim explain that David HaMelech let go of his personal vendetta, but as a king, he could not let go of that. And if we waited until the end of his life, so he would not get any personal pleasure from getting rid of these people, even though they needed to be gotten rid of. So this maybe another aspect of it here is the Ashalma Lahem, is that I want to pay them back. There is going to be payback, but it will not be, in this case, a personal payback. There is, as we've seen in these kind of mizmorim, when is this mizmor actually said? There's always two options when it comes to this. You know, on the one hand, the first part is talking about a situation of difficulty. The end is talking about how Hashem saves one. So it could be that the person has been saved and is thinking back to the situation of difficulty. Or it could be that the person is already saved, a person is still in the state of difficulty and is thinking forward in aspirations of being able to thank Hashem. So these are two very different ways of looking at it, just depending on the, and it will shift the tone. In terms of this mizmor, another one of the themes which is really important is support for the sick people. The Midrash tells us that Omer Rabbi Yochanan Komi Shehu Mevaker Cholim Ma'avirim Mimenu Echad Mishishim B'chol Yai, that you are able to reduce 1/60th of the disease of that person. That means to say a piece of that sickness is removed from the person. And the Midrash continues to say, Bilvad Shehu Oyavim Oysoi Kanavsham. As long as you have a sincere love for that person, that's what the visiting can actually do to them. The Gemara Shabbos learns from this our own Mizmor in Halacha, Shabbos Yud Beis Amud Beis, tells a very fascinating thing, that the Shechina, the Divine Presence, hovers over the bed of a sick person, which is why there's actually Halacha, a person should not sit on the bed or above the bed, a person should really sit lower than the sick person, if at all possible, because of the Shechina, which is above their head. How do we know this? Because the Pasuk in our Mizmor says, Hashem Yisodeni Al Eres Devoi, that Hashem will support the person on their sick bed. There's a certain direct divine connection, even though a person is going through a very difficult time, and this is learned from this mizmor. A lot of the halachas of Bikur Cholim are learned out of some of the psukim in this mizmor, in fact. In terms of the events behind this mizmor, Radak says, as he has said before, this could be about David HaMelech suffering through the sickness post his sin or episode of Bathsheba. The Malbim says it sounds like he may have survived a attempted poisoning. When we look at the specific words in this mizmor, that his enemies tried to poison him. The Midrash in Tehillim at the very beginning of this mizmor actually puts us into a different frame of mind. We've seen this kind of shift beforehand, and that is, it quotes the section in Koheles, in Perek Tes, where it talks about an Ir Katana of Anashim Bo Ma'at. There's a small city with a few people in it, and a large king comes with his war host and besieges it. And there's an Ish Miskein who lives in this city and is ultimately able to persevere in the siege. So what this is referring to is the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa. The Yetzer HaTov sometimes is this weak, minimal voice inside saying, you know, we really should listen to principles and obey morals. And then there's this large army outside, which is the indulgences and the wills and whims of life that pull a person to do things that they really know are negative. And David HaMelech concludes at the end of this in the Midrash, and says, Amar David, Hoyel Veles Kol Amo Shamileh, since nobody's listened to the small voice or the small miskain of this poor person, which is the Yetzer HaTov, Tavli She'de'esh Malay, I should listen to it. And that's why he wrote in this Tehillim, Maskil El Dal. David Melech is the one who listens to the Dal. The Dal is the impoverished one. It refers to not an impoverished person, but the impoverished entity and voice inside of himself, which is the Yetzer HaTov. And that is what David HaMelech is trying to win over here. So it's not so much an external battle, but more of an internal battle, as we've seen in numerous Mizmorei Tehillim. There's two levels of reflection over here. This Mizmor does not appear in our Tefillah in general. But in terms of Pasuk in the spotlight, let's focus for a moment on the last Pasuk, which is Baruch Hashem, blessed be Hashem Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, Meho Olam, Vad Olam, from time immemorial to eternity, Amen v'Amen. Let us say Amen and Amen. How do we understand this Pasuk? So there's a cluster of Mephoreshim, Rashi, Ibn Ezra, Dat Mikra, who suggest that this is the capstone of this Mizmor, when a person will ultimately be saved by Hashem, when a person will be extracted from their terrible situation that they are in. Then in such a case, a person will obviously eternally, for the rest of their life, be thankful to Hashem because Hashem extracted them. However, the Mitzudos and the Radak and a number of other Mephoreshim say, no, this is not the capstone of this Mizmor in particular, but rather this is added later on by the editor of Tehillim, whether it be David HaMelech or it be Ezra and Beis Dinah, depending on the different ways of looking at it, as we saw in the introduction. The redactors of Tehillim put this pasuk here because it is the conclusion of the first book of Tehillim. This is in fact one of the ways that we know this is the conclusion of the first book of Tehillim, and we'll see that for the first four books, there is a capstone pasuk just like this, in a very similar vein, which shows us that we reach the end of this particular theme and this particular section. This is really a colossal achievement, and we're going to be thinking about our achievements in learning through the book of Tehillim, not simply as the whole book of Tehillim, 150. We're going to think about it that we have just completed the first book of Tehillim, and what an achievement that is. We should continue learning it, we should continue living it, and we should continue singing it. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.